I wouldn't call it as technology. This is a seismic shift in how we operate, how people are going to function. 10 years from now, we're going to look back and then say, wow, how did we do that before? I guarantee AI is going to change that.
Well, everybody, welcome back to the Promise Brand Podcast. I'm very excited to introduce our guest today, who is currently a COO and partner at the Seven Train Ventures. He's had a tenure in all sorts of technology companies, from Autodesk, ADP, Intel for many years. And now, most impressively, I think, he is the author of AI Unleashed. With me today is Reddy Milady. Reddy, thank you for coming on and sharing your journey with us.
Oh, great to be here, Luke. Excited.
I don't know about you, but sometimes during intros like that, people hear back all of the stuff, you know, they've done or accomplished. What does working with all of those ventures and what you're doing now and having authored a book, what does that journey mean to you?
Where do I start, Luke? way back when I came to the U.S. as a graduate student pursuing master's in computer science, my friend Ben Carter and I, we took neural networks class, and it's AI in those days is very different from today. Mm-hmm. And we ended up writing a game in those days. The popular language for neural networks was Lisp programming. We created a game for a psychology lab to test the addictive habits of smokers.
Wow.
So that was in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Then I spent a few years writing software. Then I went to the business school in New York. And then I was the Pentium 3 product manager at Intel.
Yeah.
Spent a number of years, close to 19 years at Intel. I lived in China.
Wow.
Building a business, $700 million business. Then I went to ADP, turning around two businesses, taking their operating margin from 25% to 36%. Mm-hmm. And I came to Autodesk, and when I was running the global operations group, we had a huge opportunity to, I had a big opportunity to build export compliance. And part of that export compliance was we needed to screen 50 million records accounts pretty regularly. And then we calculated to do so, it would require 900 plus people to do that manually.
Oh my goodness.
So it became a great opportunity to leverage AI. This is, remember, this was 2019, prior to GPT.
And right.
And all that stuff was, the world is hyped with that stuff today, right? And so we built our own machine learning models, and we did automation. Believe it or not, we automated 99.7% of it. So instead of those many people we needed to hire, we ended up hiring 10 business analysts, and it was super fast, scaled to the nth degree, pretty excited. So my journey in the AI space spanned from being a graduate student in computer science all the way to building applications over the last few years. So that has been my work journey.
Yeah. And there's a powerful, you know, experience in here, because really, you know, rural kid from India kind of comes and blows up in the tech space. And so what's curious to me, Reddy, is, you know, you started sort of in that software space, the writing space, but fairly quickly through your career moved into more of a leadership position in operations. But, you know, using those software skills, the AI came up later on. So how do you see that trajectory working, like going from software to like leading operations, leading these large entities and moving, you know, revenue for businesses? How does a young kid do that?
Yeah, great question, Luke. You know, I remember Steve Jobs at Stanford, I think a few years before he passed away, he gave a phenomenal speech where he was talking about when you are going through the journey, you may not know, but you look at in the rear view in the back,
right,
and then see, connect all those dots, how it transpired. So when I look back, growing up in rural India, where we were six kids, I was the first to graduate. My parents didn't even go to college, but the cultural moorings of that time and that culture was, you know, everybody in the village. So the relationship building becomes important. So throughout my career, I'm naturally invested in learning people, every organization.
Yeah.
It's very important to engage the people, treat people as people, not as numbers.
Yeah.
That's one thing. And then I have a general curiosity to learn the things when I was at Intel. When you were becoming an engineer in those days, when I was going to school, typically you don't learn statistics, it's all calculus. But then Intel, we were building our own model, so I learned statistics. And I, even when I was not in the software, but as a manager, I was still coding. I built an application in 2013 when the things were new with some of the languages and stuff. So the skills that helped me move from being a techie guy was that curiosity, connecting with people and trying to understand what business problems you're trying to solve, not just the technology. This is where a lot of the technology or technical people, they don't quite see, hey, you know, what business problem. They're enamored with technology. They're enamored with tools. On the other hand, my superpower is bringing the business and technology together to solve a business problem.
Yeah.
So that's the mindset. And so I latched on to these things along the way. When I saw, when I was a product manager, I saw a lot of challenges in the factories and products. And so gravitated towards operations and customer experience along the way. And of course, I managed businesses, and that required operational excellence and knowing the customers. So that's has been my journey, bringing these skills together from people, from processes, technology, all those together to create outstanding business outcomes.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I talk a lot about in the world of brand is that it's more about customer experience than it is about looking cool. I think a lot of technology companies nowadays are just trying to look cool, and they're not so much worried about the customer experience and the journey along the way. How have you seen machine learning, AI, artificial intelligence over, you know, the past 50 years help businesses evolve in terms of becoming better brands for the people they serve?
Yeah. So the machine learning part of the AI as we know it, it is evolving. We're at the beginning of that journey, if you will, because the AI evolved quite a bit over the 30 years. It's not the same thing what I learned in graduate school. And machine learning, learning from the data, it has become more prominent in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And large language models came about in the last 7 or so years. And so things are evolving. And of course, we had used rule-based systems, expert systems. To your question, Luke, how did AI, or how AI can help? What is the potential for AI to help from branding, from customer experience? There are multiple ways. One of the things I can tell you from customer experience is knowing the customer. a lot of the companies invest money and do lots of projects. They want to know what the customer is feeling. We, after every call, I managed a huge operations organization before, and a big chunk of that was dealing with customers, these client services. When customer issues happen, we send the survey, and it takes people to fill the survey, not everyone. The ratio of the successful survey filling is pretty low. But now AI can change that, meaning you don't need to wait for the customers to fill. You can actually get to the point of real-time sentiment analysis based on how the customer is reacting and what words choices they're using. You can see the tone and the emotions. You can feel the customer sentiment right then and there. And if you are looking at the sales side, the revenue forecasting, closing the deals, all the intelligence that happens from the sales side, the revenue intelligence, it's filled between spreadsheets and all the salespeople chasing the data. And a lot of times these conversations happen on phones and WhatsApp and other different communication channels. But what AI can help today is bring that information, give insights. As an example, there are AI tools that actually can analyze all the communication and come up with the probability. Let's say Reddy is working on 10 deals, and based on the communication and the probabilities can be calculated with other vectors that happen, and then say, hey, Reddy, you're working on these 10 deals, but this deal that you're working with so-and-so company has a probability of 30%. Why waste your time on it, right?
Yeah.
Once you have that insight, you rather spend the time on the one with the 70-80% probability so you can close the deal during that quarter. So the chance of closing the deals increases, your revenue forecasting improves, your chances even through the analysis through these conversations when you're having with your prospective clients.
Yeah.
There's a lot of intelligence that AI can help you with. I can go on and on.
Yeah.
There's so many examples I can give from sales, from marketing, customer experience. It's, you know, from keyword analytics, on-page analysis, or even voice search optimization and content optimization. Even the, you know, one of the key things on the customer side is the personalization. It's when you're looking at, typically up to this time, personalization goes against standardization. As a operations person, someone would say, oh, you know, if you customize everything, I'm going to be my cost to support all that is going to go through the roof because I need to customize everything. But then if you standardize, then you are being treated like a number. It's like, oh, everything fits into one size. That doesn't help. But AI can do customization, meaning personalization, without compromising on the operational cost side. You can understand the consumer behavior. So there are many, many ways AI can help.
Right, right. Your book, you know, kind of, and it's actually coming out this summer, right? You have a big launch coming out, which is exciting. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
You reference in kind of the creation of the book, this is supposed to be a roadmap, a framework in a way to help leaders harness the power of AI for their business. And you know, you're talking a little bit about this in the form of operations. There are business leaders, I think, especially on the smaller scale. If I think about smaller business owners, some are very excited about the possibilities. Some are still very nervous and scared. And for me, I think their nervousness and scaredness comes from all of these, AI models that are mapping their children 18 years from now, and now like giving video and audio, and it could be used for bad. Obviously, innovation has some people fearful and worried whenever it comes to it. It did that way with Ford and the, you know, Henry Ford in the car. But for your journey, that evolution, what's sort of the foundation you're hoping to teach leaders that they can then go and learn more or learn where to implement AI in their businesses?
You brought up a few points, Luke. It's absolutely understandable that people are concerned about AI. AI as a technology is neutral.
Right.
It depends on the person using it. As I was telling earlier, you could use it to dramatically improve the things on the sales side, mm-hmm. marketing, operations, etc. But of course, you can create deep fakes, and yeah. without the guardrails, it can be a very negative force. The other point that you are making is when it is small business, they typically, they don't have an IT department. They don't have a finance department. It's like a, you know, five people shop.
Right? Right.
And where do you start? So for them, I wouldn't say, hey, you're going to build an AI team. It's, if you're like a few million dollars of revenue, 10 or less,
yeah,
you can't afford to build an AI team. You can't afford to create machine learning models on your own, but it's there are things that can be done. Example, to the customer experience thing we were just talking about.
Right.
If you don't have, let's say, a well-oiled, well-supported, let's say, customer support team, because you are a 5-10 people shop. But today, let's say your shop is located in Toledo, Ohio, mm-hmm. and you work Eastern hours, 9 to 5, whatever. And since you're a small shop, you're losing the opportunity to showcase your products and your services mm-hmm. to a broader base of customers. But now, the possibility with AI is you can have a 24/7 customer representative with AI agent. You can create self-service with the AI. Yes, you need to invest a little bit, but you don't need to put a few million dollars to make that happen.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, your exposure to the client base expanded, scaled significantly, mm-hmm. and then you can provide 24/7 support. And important ones, you can always follow through next day versus missing that call altogether.
Right.
And you can even automate some of these responses when someone is looking and, hey, have a question. Mm-hmm. You can send, you can take from the knowledge base and create automated email. So the power of AI comes in many, many ways.
Yeah.
Now, coming to my book, I structured my book into 4 different sections. I'm not assuming that my book is going to be read only by someone with XYZ knowledge. Mm-hmm. I make it generic, meaning if you have intention, hey, you are curious about AI, mm-hmm. but you don't know where to start, I give the first section, I give the fundamentals of AI, how it works. And I talk about a little bit of history, a little bit of the underlying technologies. And if you don't want to know, that's absolutely fine. You can go to section 2, section 3, where section 2, I talk about, in section 2, I talk about how to integrate AI from data perspective, meaning the things that are important for AI, whether you're a small business or a big business, you need to make sure that your data is managed properly. Mm-hmm. Your models, whether you have built them in-house or you're leveraging third-party models, it doesn't matter. You still need to have the data right. You need to have the security, the guardrails in place.
Yeah, that's appropriately.
Good. The people that understand a bit of technology, the business process, the cross-functional team. How do you enable the culture? How do you enable the cross-functional teams to bring AI into your business? That's the focus of section two. And then the third section, I focus quite heavily on the art of possibility, meaning what can you do from finance? If you're a finance leader, what can you do from finance, customer experience, sales, operations, engineering, or HR, all these different functions, how can they be positively impacted by AI? It is, the idea is to spur the creative juices flowing for leaders. Oh, okay, now I know the business. So, how about I do a leverage AI for this purpose?
Yeah.
It is to grow the top line as well as to grow the bottom line, because it is going to help with productivity, improve the customer experience, and you can even create newer markets or increase your market. As in that example we were just talking about, a small business leader or a small business owner, they can have bigger market exposure all of a sudden. So that means increased revenue, right?
Yeah.
And then the fourth section, I talk about what does the AI maturity model looks like? This is, again, in a big companies or small and medium companies too, if they have IT departments, they go through, hey, what is the maturity level we have and how do you get to the best ROI with AI? How do you get to that most mature models? And then how your workforce will look like when they're augmented with AI. So that's my fourth section. So I divided that into four sections, and you can independently jump to any of those sections and read depending on what interests you have.
Yeah, that's good. One of the things I see a lot, especially on LinkedIn, the business world, people talking about how, you know, on one half, AI is going to steal all our jobs. And on the other half, you know, there's no chance AI will steal all our jobs because people like talking to people. And when it, you know, when it comes to things like customer service, we want to talk to a person. Where do you stand in that tension that, you know, because on one side, as a business owner, I love the idea of automating a lot of stuff, right? As I'm a small business owner, I love the idea of doing that. But there are certain elements, you know, that I think impact the brand in a positive way. And so for someone thinking and kind of caught between that tension, what do you say to them? What's your kind of consolation for them to walk that out?
AI, my personal view, Luke, is AI is going to augment our capabilities. If I'm a mediocre writer, as an example, it will make me a better writer, because sometimes you get stuck.
Yeah.
I wrote a book, right? And then, I got these ideas, but how do I write that? But now it's, instead of waiting a day or two for that creative juices to flow, I will use AI to get that process started. It doesn't mean it's going to be eliminating. It's not coming up with, I got these ideas in my brain. I dump it. Now create a section with that, but I don't like it. And then I'm going to edit that. What that means is the workflow I just described is, instead of spending a day in that process, if I'm just doing it, I spend a few hours. So my productivity improved significantly. Is that an augmentation of my capabilities? Absolutely. Same way, I'll tell you, I was managing a huge, large global organization. And the typical time for someone to be productive in my client services team would be 6 months to 1 year, because the knowledge is scattered across multiple places.
Wow.
And as a small and medium business owner, you hate that, right? It's God, it takes 6 months for someone to come up to speed. 1 year, that's a nightmare, right? You're leaving money on the table. But AI, it can help you in multiple ways in that. It makes someone productive very quickly. So that means your customer specialist, he or she will be very happy. They can get the answers a lot faster. They know about the customer a lot better, instead of searching through five different systems between Salesforce and who knows, right? All these SAP and different systems. It makes you very, very productive quickly. So you would love that. Of course, this is going to change, just like any technologies that came before. It's going to change things. Do you need 100 customer service representatives? Maybe you need only 50 or less. Or let's say the other way for me to look at that is, let's say you are going from a 5 million revenue to 10 million. So you don't need to, you've got the two customer service representatives. You don't need to hire two more. You probably, with those two who already had the intimate knowledge of the business, the AI augments them. So you save the cost, you make them productive, and you make the customers happier. Their customer experience improves. So as a business owner, you're happy. As employees, they're happy.
Yeah.
Of course, it changes the way we are doing things.
Yeah.
Yes, as with any other technology, some displacement will happen.
Yeah.
But you can't change the progress, right?
Right. And I was just thinking while you mentioned that, new jobs will evolve, right? Just like we came out of a heavy, heavy manufacturer, culture in the 50s and 60s and 70s, right? We now move into more of a technological age, and people, people shift, and jobs shift, and education shifts around that. And so, of course, there's fear, there's worry along with change, but ultimately this is where things are going. One of the things, we'll wrap here in just a moment, but one of the things I like to look at in the brand space are people within the industry that are doing kind of powerful things. Unfortunately, there are hundreds of AI-focused companies right now, and it's tough to weed through, especially as a small or medium-sized business. If you're trying to augment some of that work and not build up your own, machine learning platforms, you have to go hire a company usually. So my question to you, just on the spot here, Reddy, is what AI-specific brand do you see that's up and coming? A little younger, but they're working on something that is powerful right now. Who do you see in the market that is just worthy of looking at?
I'll give you, just because we were talking about the revenue intelligence, Avizo AI, Avizo.com, it's a startup in the Bay Area, but they are spread pretty much across the globe, their team. They are pioneers in the sense they are category creators in revenue intelligence. Typically in revenue intelligence, there are tools that are point solutions, meaning they are good at forecasting, or they're good at nudging the sales reps, or they get the insights from the communication. But this one is, you get a 360 degree view from every aspect. So from that, they're not Microsofts, obviously. And there are companies that feel I have to go with the established players like Google or Microsoft, AWS.
Yeah.
That's your call. But if you're going to say, hey, what is out there? Let me check around. And the companies that are pioneering, stable, that are going to be there, you need to check into those companies. But I love their technology. I know the CEO. I advise them. And they're one of the pioneers in the space.
Powerful. It's powerful to see that kind of stuff happen. Reddy, I'm excited for your book to fully launch this summer and all that you're doing. As things develop for you, where can people follow along and get connected with you?
Oh, connect with me on LinkedIn. And I have a website for the book. Mm-hmm. The pre-sale closed. We had overwhelming response.
Good.
But they can go and see where I was talking about the genesis of the book, mm-hmm. and some of the examples, what I was planning to cover. And connect with me on LinkedIn and follow. I post regularly on LinkedIn. I try to minimize to 3, at most 4 a week.
Yeah.
But I discuss very business-focused content mm-hmm. from the AI side.
Cool. I love it. Well, Reddy, m'lady, thank you so much for sharing a lot of big AI happening. Any final thoughts from you today?
My final thought, I wouldn't call it as technology. Hmm. This is a seismic shift in how we operate, how people are going to function. 10 years from now, we're going to look back and then say, wow, how did we do that before?
Yeah.
I guarantee AI is going to change that.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to embrace, because it's a force multiplier. It doesn't mean that you need to sink in millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Don't be left behind.
Yeah.
Recently, Mark Cuban said on some CNBC interview, there are only going to be two types of companies, one that are in the AI and the other ones are left behind.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the case. So absolutely. Get on the journey. Don't be afraid. It's a force multiplier.
Yeah. And if you are figuring it out, I think Reddy is a great resource. Your book will be a great resource to get things started as a business. Reddy, thank you so much again. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. I had fun and great discussion, Luke. Thank you.